Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. You know, our society, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Our society today is about one-third of our society believes there's an absolute truth. Two-thirds, everything is what you want it to be. Truth is what you want it to be. There's a line in a movie that said, truth is what I say it is. No, well, that's really not right. You know, so it don't matter that you say it's the truth, it doesn't make it the truth. So we live in a post-truth society. In other words, truth has come and gone concerning them. But I'm telling you, truth is here to stay. We have in our current situation, in our culture, we've been talking a lot about the things that we're facing and we're still going to face, and then we're going to face some other things that is going to be a little harder. You know, but I'm reminded that in Isaiah, he says, you know, there's a time when things are going to get dark, and actually grossly dark. Now, that grossly dark does not mean it's going to be pretty dark. It's going to be a nice evening. Grossly dark means it's going to be real bad. But he says this, I want you to arise and I want you to shine for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You are here. We are here to make a difference in the gross darkness that is forthcoming. Some of it's already happening. You know, we really are. Our nation is one of those nations that is under attack from a lot of different things. We're moving rapidly toward the criminalization of Christianity. Pretty soon, and I don't know when soon is, but down the road, you're going to be treated, your behavior to believe the Bible and to follow the Bible and take the actions that the Bible takes, you're going to be looked at like a criminal. No, we've got to be ready for that. Amen? But it's not a time to fear. It's not a time to be afraid. It's one of those things that remind me of... You know, I'm a movie watcher. I really am. I really love Westerns, but there's some other movies that I watch, too, that are very good. I get things from God in it. When I hear it, I said, you know, that really touches my heart. One of them is, the Persians are fighting against the Spartans, and they've got many nations rising up against them, and they're wanting them to give up. But they're not going to give up. Those 300 are not going to give up. And they're told by one of the guys that they sent to communicate them to quit and to give up. And he tells them, he said, you know, we are so many. We are so many that our arrows will blot out the sun. We have so many our arrows that is coming for you will blot out the sun. That's frightening, isn't it? But you know, the Spartan that was receiving the message responded like this, and we'll just fight in the shade. I love that kind of resolve. I love that kind of thing. You know, we're here for a purpose. We are here for a purpose, and though... Though a lot of things rise up against the church, the people of God, guess what we'll do? If it gets dark, guess what we'll do? We'll be the light. Amen. And we'll fight in the dark. They're in the dark. We're in the light. So we'll still be fighting in the light. Amen. You know, but our fight's going to be different than what you think. You know, so we've got to learn to do some things. And we've got to learn it in the pattern and the order of God. How many times you know that we can grab a scripture and run with it without reading the context and without reading the previous things that were said? And we're going to try to refocus some things today. But over in when you look at it, over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, this is one we always run to a lot of times when it's when we got warfare stuff going on. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm. God is looking for people to stand firm. Against what? Against the schemes or the plots, the wiles of the devil. Now, God is looking for his people to be a people that will take a stand when evil rises up. Amen. Don't, you know, the government can do so much, but when they're not following God, we have to do our designed purpose and speak the truth. See, the church is the pillar and support of truth. Amen. So if there's any truth that's going to filtrate and enter into the kingdom of darkness, is going to be coming from the church, which means it's going to be coming from you. It's going to be coming from me. So we have to do that. But, you know, we grab hold of this and we say, okay, it's time for us to be strong in the Lord. It's time for us to, in the strength of his might, we put on the armor of God and that we may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. See, he defines our enemy. He goes on and says, it's not against flesh and blood. But we fight in the flesh. We fight flesh and blood so much that we lose track of who the real enemy is. And we've got to correct that. We've got to make that adjustment. We've got to correct that. You know, but this word finally, you know, the Bible says that if we study the Word of God and if we're good stewards of the Word and we make ourselves available for God to speak to us as we study, as we dig, he said we would be a servant that could rightly divide the Word of God. What does that mean? It means that we will, see, the Word of God has divisions. It is not divided, but the Word of God has divisions. And we can rightly divide the Word of where it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be done, and what we're supposed to do, and what God is saying. But see, we need to be that workman that studies the Word, that needs not to be ashamed. There's too many Christians that are ashamed of the gospel. There's too many Christians that are ashamed to be stand up, you know, and be vocal about who they are, where they are, and how they're acting and why they're acting the way they're acting. And we've got to make some adjustments. How many of you know that as you go on a trip, sometimes you have to make an adjustment to be able to get on the right track. Sometimes you miss the road, miss the turn, miss the mark. And that's called, when you do that, it's called repentance. Repentance is when you recognize you're going the wrong way, you turn in the right direction toward God. That is the repentance. Yes. Amen. Amen? We have to have repentance in our life. We just don't repent at the moment of our salvation. That is not the only time that we repent. We repent all during life, because all during life we find ourselves occasionally on the wrong track, on the wrong turn, with the wrong emotion, with the wrong attitude. Boy, that's a big one, with the wrong attitude. See, that calls for repentance, calls for a recognition of what we're doing, and it's not what we're supposed to be doing. So we turn away from it, and we turn to the right way, and we turn to his way. Amen. And that is how we repent. But here's the problem with running to this verse and saying, let's do this thing. And it's one word that I really hadn't seen this until recent, probably about two weeks ago when I started looking at it. I was reading it and all of a sudden it just popped out. One word. You just don't grab this verse and start running with it. One word tells me that. Finally. Finally. This word finally means from henceforth. It means from here on out. It means there is something that was told to you previously that you should already have in you. So you just don't run and grab this verse and say, this is what we're going to go do. The word finally sets the pace and sets the order of this verse. Because in the book of Ephesians, he tells us other things that we should have done and we should be doing in the process to get to this word finally. In other words, what are those things and do we know them? But I'm going to give them to you. Some of you will recognize this as part of the teaching of Watchman Nee, Chinese minister that actually died in prison for doing the Lord's work. They didn't want the Lord's work to be done, and they hated him for it, and they put him in prison, and he actually died in prison. But let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I don't have a lot of time this morning, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he would what? That he may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Let me stop right there just for a moment and get you to understand that the enemy will fight against any and every revelation from taking hold of you. He will oppose any and every, even today, he will oppose any and every revelation from that's coming to you. He will oppose it and try his best for that revelation not to take hold of you. Because when the revelation takes hold of you, it's Jesus says, you shall know the truth. See, he's talking about the knowing on the inside that has become part of you. You have become one with the truth. One with the truth. But when you know the truth, when you become one with the truth, that truth will make you free. So that's the reason. So, well, I'm already free from sin. True, he's made you free from the power of sin. Right? Right? He's cleansed all your sins. All that's true. But are you free to do what it is that God wants you to do? So a lot of times we're in bondage with other things and we don't even know it. He says, but revelation, truth coming to you and becoming one inside you, it's what's going to bring freedom to you in your walk and in your living. You know, Galatians tells us that, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. He uses the word freedom twice. He said it is for freedom that Christ set you free. These are the truth that you know makes you free. It doesn't set you free. It makes you free. Christ sets you free. It's like you're setting free is when you're in prison, you're in bondage, you're in the darkness, and he comes and he opens that prison cell for you. Jesus opens that prison cell for you and say, you are now free because I have paid the price. And he gets us out of the prison, out of the bondage of darkness. And he translates us from the darkness into his marvelous light. He sets us free. You're free. But now, my life being out of prison now has to walk in what? In a freedom. Where's that freedom going to come from? Knowing the truth. Knowing, exactly right, knowing the truth, knowing what God wants us to do, and it becoming part of who you are. Well, how do we get to that place? How do we get to that place? So here we are, we're saying, okay, he fights, he opposes, but I'm praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wisdom and revelation. And he's praying that. The Bible says in verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So Paul is saying, I'm praying, and that's my prayer for you, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. What does that mean? In other words, there would be a revealing to all of us as to what it is, what is the next step that God wants us to do. We try to figure it out instead of listening it out. We have to listen to what he's saying and let the revelation come and let what he illuminates for us become part of us. By the way, when he does say, he said, the truth that sets you free or makes you free, you are free indeed. That's a legal term in court. Indeed means it cannot be taken from you. The word indeed means it's yours forever. Can't lose it. Can't be taken. It's yours forever. That's the reason the enemy fights fights the truth. He fights revelation. He fights the newness and the fresh bread that God has to give for you and I. He fights that. He's against that. He will distract you. He will do anything he can to discourage you. He will do everything he can to bring depression, to bring oppression, to bring anything that takes you away from being focused on what God is telling you. That's true. That is the truth. That's the reason we need to learn how to stay focused. Psalm 119, verse 129 says this. Every word, I'm reading out of the Message translation. Every word you give me is a miracle word. Oh, I love that. Every word you give me is a miracle word. How could I not obey? Break open your words. Let the light shine out. Let ordinary people see the meaning. Oh, I love that. The King James Version says, at the entrance of your word brings light. See, when the word of God begins to be announced and proclaimed and it enters, it brings light. Amen. At the entrance of it. And one translation said, it unfolds. The very word begins to unfold so it can show you the light. So you can drink and taste and eat of the light and be the very light that he wants us to be. He said, and let ordinary people see the meaning of it, have an understanding of it. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you may know what the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward those. What's the rest of it?
Who believe.
To those who believe. To those who believe. He said, you'll be able to know. You'll be able to know. Here's this thing about becoming one with it. You'll be able to know the hope of his calling. He'll give you the hope. You'll be able to know the true riches of his glory that all the saints have. And you'll be able to know the surpassing greatness of his power. Believe. Believe. Let your eyes be open to be able to hear and see. All these are in accordance with the working of his strength, the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. When he raised, watch this, when he raised him, capital H, who is him?
Jesus.
Who did he raise? He raised Jesus. When he raised Jesus from the dead, and listen, and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Now he's setting the stage here. You remember it says finally? So what is this first stage that he's setting for us to be able to get? And he said he raised him above, far above the rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Any name that is named. Say any name that is named.
Any name that is named.
COVID-19 is a name.
Amen.
Okay. All right. In any name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that is coming. So whatever is named in the future... And there will be more. Whatever is named in the future, know this. He is above every name that is named.
Amen.
No matter what they call it, no matter what they name it, no matter what they say that it is, he is above every name. This age and the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. And he gave him as head of all things to the church. Which is his body, the church, the people, which is his body. His presence on the earth is you and I.
Amen.
The church. That's how he's on the earth, in us. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Now Paul sets the stage. Now, look, time is gone. Paul has set the stage for something he wants you to get. And here it comes. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. That's how you walked. When you were dead in your sins, that's how you walked, according to this world, not according to him. And he goes on and says, according to the prince of the power of the air and the prince and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. It's still at work. And he says this, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh of the mind and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of them. So he begins to tell us, you know, all of this stuff that he has for us. He has all the riches. He has the power. He said, I had the power to be able to raise Jesus from the dead and seat Jesus in the heavenlies with him, far above everything else. Every rule, every authority, every principality, far above it. That's where he seated him. And that's where Jesus is seated today, making intercession for you and I. That's a good thought. That's a good truth. Jesus is praying for you and I. We're saints. He said he's making intercession for the saints. So I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what you're feeling right now. I don't know what you're thinking right now. But this you ought to know. Jesus is interceding for you right now. Then he goes on, he says, you were dead in the trespasses. You were formerly walking just like the world, and you operated in disobedience. You followed the flesh. You were by nature the children of wrath and all that. And then I love the next two words in verse 4. What is it? But God. That's one of William. I hear William say that. Brother William, I hear him say that. He'll say something. He said, but God. You know, he's good about reminding me of a but God. But God. He says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he had loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together. Amen. With Christ. By grace are you saved. By grace you've been saved. And watch this. And raised us up with him and seated us. You remember he seated Jesus? He raised Jesus up and seated Jesus at his right hand. Listen to this. Even though you were all of this mess, but God in his mercy loved you enough to make you alive together in Christ and raised us up with him. You've been raised up. You have been raised up with Christ. Spiritually, you've not died physically yet, but you've died spiritually. Your old nature is dead. Amen. Your flesh is not, but your old nature is dead. Paul said you have to die to the flesh every day. Every day. He said, but he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. Let that just sink in for a moment. What is the Holy Spirit saying through Paul, a letter to the church? What is he saying? Here's what he's saying. You were a mess. Christ has already, or God has already said that he has a lot to give you, and in order for him to give that to you, in order for you to know that, he's going to have to let his son die, and he's going to raise him up. He's going to raise him up from the dead, and he's going to seat him in the heavenlies right beside God the Father. And then he says, now, you were a mess, but God saw fit to pour his love upon you and I in such a way that we died with him. We died with him. And then he said, he raised you and I up from that dead, from that death spiritually, and gave us new life together in him. He raised us up
in him. And what else did he do? Everybody say the word seated. He seated us with him in heavenly places. So let me ask you this. What is your position today? Who said that? Who said that? Say that again. Your position is seated at the right hand of God with Christ. Now I'm going to end, and this is just one thing. I've had a lot more, and we'll get to it. It's called a series, I guess. But I want you to listen. Christ is raised from the dead, so are you. You were raised in him spiritually. God seated Christ beside him, beside the Father. He raised you from the dead spiritually, gave you new life, and raised you up and seated you in him. So where's your position? Seated. Here is the first step of the finally. We want to jump way over here and grab hold of this armor and start. No. Paul said, finally means when you have captured the previous, it is now time to do this. We want to stand, listen, we want to stand firm against the devil. Listen to this. Before we ever know that we're seated with him at the right hand of God. Everybody breathe deep. Just take a deep breath. Listen. Our Christian life starts with rest. God worked 6 days, and on the sixth day, what did he do? He made man on the sixth day. The seventh day was the first full day that Adam had. What was that day? That's the day that God rested. God worked, then rested. In our Christian life, we rest, then we learn how to work. We rest. A lot of us do not know how to rest and stay seated in him above everything. So first thing we got to do is learn how to sit. Learn how to be still. And in our being still and in our we learn about the things of God. We learn so much from God. Does that make sense? We learn so much from him. We want to go to work. See, the Christian life does not start from doing. It starts from resting in what he's already done. Do you know, research has shown that when Saul's conversion, it was 13 or 14 years before he started doing the ministry that he was called to do. 13 or 14. A lot of people think he just got up, got his eyes open, and then went at it. Mm-mm. He had a lot to unlearn because he thought killing Christians was God's will. How many of you know he was a little messed up? That had to leave him. And the newness of revelation had to come to him. And through those years, he learned. He was sitting. We have to learn to sit and learn from him. Learn who we are in him. Learn who he is in us. Now, the armor's coming. But see, we send little infants to try to fight battles. And they're not ready. That's the reason we send some to the mission field, and they don't last very long, and they come back. Why? They didn't know how to sit. They didn't know who they were. Didn't know how to sit and rest in him. From his rest, we learn how to walk. From resting in him, we learn how to do.
because we're learning about him. We're learning about us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, that's all I'm going to give you today. I went over today. This is a great starting place. If you want to be able to stand, capture this first. Learn how to sit and rest. And from his rest, we will be able to rise and do the things that God wants us to do. They'll have a witness in that. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. See, this is our position. A lot of times we don't understand our position. Our position is in him, seated. That's my position. That's your position. Who put you there? God did. He raised you and I up and seated us. So you're in the heavenlies. Terry Wilson says, I'm in the spirit realm. You know, a lot of times he said, we're in the spirit world. See, you are really, really, really seated with him right now. That's where your spirit is. That's where you are. That's your position in him. In him. So let's learn to rest. Let's learn about him. Let's learn from him. And then we'll be able to rise up and walk. And then after we learn to walk, after we learn how to do the things he wants us to do, we will be able to get to that finally. And then when the enemy begins to show his true colors of everything, we will be properly equipped biblically to handle it. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this word. Thank you so much for your presence. And God, thank you for giving us clarity, giving us open ears, giving us insight, and giving us enlightenment from you. And Lord, we ask you that even in the latter part of these series, Lord, that we will hear what you have to say, and it will not be taken, it will not be stolen, it will not be we will not be robbed of the revelation. We will eat the finest food from your table that we have ever eaten. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.